Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up. It's not easy to get these days.
But you get it here, at least to the best of our ability.
Even if YouTube squashes us.
Oh, yeah. Once again, I'll have to put it up on Rumble. So for the folks who listened to our show, I think it was the Monday show, YouTube has pulled it, saying that we violated their content policy by spreading false information. It was a story where I posted a picture of Trump's impeachment team, right? His lawyer. And apparently, I mean, I don't think YouTube listens to us at all. I can't imagine they listen to a whole show. So I know they had pulled it from they pulled the C-SPAN video, some of the social media did. So if you're YouTube, it's a Senate hearing, right? It's a Senate hearing.
It violates community standards.
And it violates a community standard spreading false information. I just saw today that the U.S. Supreme Court is going to take on, at least at Friday, they're going to have a conference call and consider whether they're going to hear some of the election cases.
Oh, that would be bigger than
but here's the
crooked,
thing.
Amoral, degenerative bunch of old people who are terrified of actually because Robert says that there'll be riots if they consider it. It doesn't matter, Supreme Court. It's not a court of law.
I know, Chuck. My point is, though, none of you will ever know it unless you listen to our show, because none of the social media organizations will let. I guess they're just going to ban the Supreme Court for that.
Who's the show brought by?
Show brought by America's. Hey, Ted, AmericasCitizenPress.com. We got Ted Trumper coming up. I know everybody's going to want to talk about Rush Limbaugh. We also have Peter Boyles coming up later in the show, too, to talk about that. But, Ted, we heard you, actually, on. So, Ted Trumper, a Democrat strategist. Thank you for coming on.
Sort of Soros.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. We heard you on Peter's show this morning, and I thought, okay, we got to get him on our show.
Tuesday, Julie.
Well, okay, whenever. Okay.
They all blend together.
They all do blend together. You're right. Today is today. Well, Chuck listens to him later, so I heard it actually this morning when Chuck was listening to it.
So Peter was in our offices to do his column, which he does monthly, which is really well done. And I greeted him and said, Judy Woodruff, so good to see you. Because you and Dick Wadhams are the new Shields and Brooks and Shields. And Peter plays moderator Judy Woodruff. And I agree with you. No, I double agree with you. And I admire you so much. Oh, I admire you even more.
By the way, speaking of admiring, that's a great background you got in the bag. You're going to plan. Hey, so it's sort of like a who'd you rather. I want you to pretend for a second here now that you're actually a Republican Party strategist, a Democrat Party strategist. And what would you be advising?
I'm sitting at a country club.
Right.
Sitting
at a country club, reading QAnon posts, if you can find them. and Mitch McConnell says, you know, Ted, I'm thinking of trashing Donald Trump in an op-ed and a speech on the Senate floor. Would you say, I think it's a great idea, Mitch, because you have the backing of millions of Republican voters. Or what would you say to him?
Actually, I would tell him to do what he did. And this is why. He has a choice. He has a choice between running the risk of ticking off a lot of Trump supporters and having a lot from his base in terms of getting mad at him,
or keeping
corporate donors happy, because so many corporations really reacted negatively. What happened on the 6th and with Trump's response or no response, depending on how you look at it. And in order for him to raise the money, in order for him to try to take this, I mean, it's a 50-50 Senate. So it's not out of reach for McConnell to become the majority leader again. And so I.
So what you're saying is it's all about the money, basically.
I think it's about the money.
I totally agree with that analysis. Yeah. I think it's a good one. Corporations have become woke now for, it's running on 3 or 4 years. So
I'm kind of surprised, Chuck, that you actually even use the term woke.
Really?
yeah, we know what it it means, Ted.
We know what it means, Ted.
We're actually, we talk about it now. Tragically, for people like Mitch McConnell, is Trump supporters are woke to the Mitch McConnells.
Well,
and
they've
things
been
like
for
that.
Wedges,
do you think,
care.
Though, I mean, care. Lindsey Graham, like I said this before, he's playing Henry Kissinger.
He's bi. Not Henry Kissinger.
Well, in terms of he's like the trying to be a diplomat. Do you think, because it seems to me that there is some truth to his statement that both sides need each other. Because, I mean, I was glad to see Trump kind of smack down Mitch McConnell really fast.
They really don't need each other. One needs to conquer the other.
Is that what you think?
Well, you can't have a united party. I mean, you can't. You've got to be able to have the bloodletting. And the Democratic Party, as Ted's indicated, is having his own bloodletting. You got to have the bloodletting. And you see whether money or people are more important. And I'm not sure.
I actually think right now it seems like a binary choice. But I think as time goes on, it's not necessarily going to be a binary choice, because once the money starts to flow in, and once they get really close to the campaigns and they have most of the cash and they're trying to win, then they're going to try to make sure that they, you know, throw some meat at the Republican base. So right now it's a binary choice. I just think as the farther we go down the road, I think that there's an opportunity for them to at least attempt to have their cake and eat it too.
Is it going to
be? Well, how would they do that? That's an interesting thought. How would they do that?
Just keep raising when you have enough money that you know you can get the momentum to keep going. And then the Republican donors see, oh my God, you know, there's a possibility of us winning. And then you start pumping up the base about that. I mean, you really have to calibrate the timing of it. But I could see, you know, somebody like McConnell thinking that he can get the best of both worlds.
And is that what you're thinking for the Democratic Party? You'll get all the dark money in that you're famous for,
hey,
and
listen,
be able to throw it at the BLM supporters and all that.
Well, and this is where I come across more as a conservative. I call it dark money or not. You know, it's free speech. And to think that you're going to get, quote, non-disclosed money, all disclosed, you're high. Because politics is about power. People want power. And to get power takes money.
Yeah.
And, you know, saying that you're going to get all money out of politics is, I mean, that's Pollyannish.
Right.
What percent do you think you guys get from China?
What percent we get from China?
Well, money's money. Power is power. They're not dumb people over there. If there's not
Hunter Biden,
if there's non-disclosure, you think they go, okay, we don't want to interfere with the election. We don't want to interfere.
Here you go. You take a simple argument and you take it to its extreme.
So I take it to
I'm gonna call you extreme Chuck.
Reasonable conclusion. If you don't know where the money is
coming from
it
China.
Can come from anywhere. Who's got a lot of money? The China. It's not hard to think that that little one, like Russia.
Yeah, it's not easy, but you can kind of put two and two together to kind of figure out where a lot of this money is coming from. It's illegal. It's illegal for
for
foreign countries
that's
to spend.
That's what you guys specialize in. God, that's what the Clinton Foundation did. That's what all you guys do. You guys specialize in illegal money.
Speaking of that, Chuck I was saying earlier, now YouTube, hopefully they're not listening, and we're not going to talk about elections, YouTube. They banned one of our videos where we didn't even talk about the election.
Yeah, but Julie put Trump in the headline.
So like,
I go, why'd you do that?
I know.
And that was that for that too. Well, let me know
the
nothing.
The election's here.
Well, the New York Gazette. I know how you rigged the 2018 election. You know, that's not hard to figure out.
Ballot harvesting.
Yeah, but massive ballot harvesting. I mean, the ground, it was just unbelievable.
For people who can't see, Ted is rolling his eyes again.
We always roll when I tell the truth. He's rolling his eyes. I've made a very good point.
Because, you know, we have these big election combines. You know, we've been having John Deere make them so we can go out and we can harvest.
There we go.
Yes, right in those nice urban areas. Because I've done mail ballot elections. So I know that, you know, and I know how what's shocking is what's legal now. And the Democrats,
which is everything, really,
which is everything. And Democrats don't care about legality. They think that's voter suppression, antiquated Victorian morals or something.
You know, if you hear that noise in the background, it's my printer going. So I'm printing ballots.
Well, we got ours printing too, Ted.
Yeah,
we're learning a thing or two.
But the New York Gazette, which is not a Republican bigot, said the Colorado election stank. Although Dick Wadams doesn't. So Have you? Do you kind of administer some kind of sedative to them? When you know, oh, it was totally fair. I loved it. And, you know, it was just great. So you know, I understand that rigging. The cheating, I don't understand. And the New York Gazette said, no, this is not possible. You cannot have all of a sudden Trump winning more votes than 2016 and get utterly swamped because of a massive, massive turnout from your basement of 85%. He said, that's just ridiculous. And I knew some of the cheating things you did.
See, that just, you know, arithmetically, it is possible. I mean, it in terms of the level of turnout, what the voter registration was, what all the polling was saying going into the election. So I don't buy the argument that there was all this election fraud and we're printing ballots. I mean, I think the only real argument that Republicans had and that Trump had, but it's really in the weeds, is the fact that some of the state statutes said ballots had to be in by a specific day. And the Constitution is clear. No, the Constitution is clear that states set these rules. I mean, that's a reason why it would take, right, you know, a major effort, a constitutional amendment, in order to federalize elections where the feds would actually make the rules for elections rather than provide constitutional parameters to them. And so what you had, what you had is you had courts, state courts saying, no, you can take ballots in till they're later. You can wait three more days. No, you can use all mail-in ballots. So you had the courts making the law about what the elections were going to do. Now, was that enough in order to flip a state? I don't know. But I think that's the one legal argument that they at least had some grounds.
Yeah, but you have to
because
understand,
you know, there were three branches of government.
No, there's not. There's just one unibranch that, you know, like Colorado has an independent judiciary, right, Dad? Yeah. Without a single Republican occupying a single judgeship in Colorado. It's an independent
one. There might be one somewhere.
No, there's not. Well, Dennis Graham in the Court of Appeals.
There we go.
Yeah, so some senior judge somewhere. But
sitting at a country club.
The university club.
I want to know how you took over. This is
Chuck
this
has been
is,
trying to figure out how you.
Well, they steal everything. So Phil Anschutz, who's supposed to be a conservative, right, starts the Colorado Politics, which is a website that goes along with the Colorado Gazette, and he also starts off with the Denver Gazette, and it's supposed to be an alternative Denver Post, and then he hires all Denver Post reporters. All left-wing people, and the big headline today was "How Polis is going to make Colorado prosper again." Oh,
the
wonderful!
$1 billion stimulus.
You're just all left-wing drivel. How do you do it? Do you pay them to do it? Do you threaten them with photographs? How do you make somebody who is supposed to? I mean, it's no different than the Denver Post. It is as bad as the Denver Post.
It's really basic. It's really basic, Chuck. We're just telling the truth.
Yeah, your truth. Which reminds me, you know, because Ted is one of those things, he never wants Republicans to participate in future elections. So he wants to get rid of Electoral College. And so he told us.
Not get rid of Electoral College, get rid of the winner take all rule. Let's at least be accurate.
Get rid of the Electoral College for all intents and purposes. So he says, you guys have to have this Republican on. So this poor guy comes in. I like him. He's a very nice guy. We had him on our program, and he'd be making all these, you know, lefty points, and kind of go, did they make you do that?
they tortured him.
Yeah, is that a suicide vest you have on?
If you don't say.
It was just so pathetic.
It's the elixir that I carry around, you know?
Yeah, and you sprinkle it on people.
It's called liberal truth, and I put it in your drink.
Oh.
So do you believe, like Dick Wilden believes, what we need are better candidates and more candidates that will appeal to independent women as well as what's the other group?
Who was Walker Stapleton appealing to?
It wasn't appealing to anyone.
I mean, no offense, Walker,
So what do you think this is going to be good, ladies and gentlemen?
Is it the system or is it the candidates?
No, you need to mark this down. To Ted, how do you think the Republicans should do so this isn't a one party state anymore?
Well, one, you got to decide who you are. And you don't know who you are because you have folks that are saying things like Wadhams is saying.
Right.
Right.
You have folks that are saying things that is just about the base. And I actually think you could figure out a way where you could speak to both. It's not going to be able to speak to both on 100% of the issues.
What
but there have to be 30%, 40%, something that you can pick in a way that you can keep at least some of the base, while at the same time, you know, remember, the highest number of registered voters in Colorado are unaffiliated.
Right.
That's right.
And you've got to appeal to unaffiliated in order to win. And, you know, historically, Republicans have been able to do that. They just haven't been able to do it as of late. Because I always stress, you know, our category on registration is unaffiliated. It's not independent. Just right. Unaffiliated means I don't feel comfortable affiliating with either party, but they typically vote, you know,
one way or the other.
Certain cycles one way or the other.
Yeah.
So I'm basically saying I want to have my cake and eat it too, Chuck.
Okay.
How you going to win?
Let me be honest.
I didn't hear the answer. So how are you going to appeal to the unaffiliated voters?
Well, that's an assumption.
I tell you, I think the tax message really works.
Oh, God.
No, seriously. Oh, God. Let me turn the tables. So what do you think the message should be?
Not participate in a crooked system.
I disagree with Chuck. Chuck is
You don't appear. I don't think they should participate in a system that is rigged as badly as you guys have rigged it. And there's no chance that a Republican can win. I mean, Donald Trump got 100,000 more votes, and you guys printed up another 400,000 and swamped him. I mean, you know, he appealed to more Republicans or more unaffiliated, and he swamped him. There's no method in which a Republican can win statewide office unless you and your groups. Catherine Murdoch. Yeah, say, let's give him the Treasury. Let's make him pretend they can win one race. That's
great. Well, I have XCU Regency.
The thing to think about, I mean, it's alleged. I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but the Murdoch money that was spent was actually spent in Republican primaries.
Right. I know, we got that.
Right, so we have fake.
Got that. So Patrick Neville goes out, and you get a total squish, ineffective, do nothing minority leader, and you guys have won again. You guys contribute more to the Republican Party than any Republican does. Phil Anschutz is nowhere near Catherine Murdoch, and Catherine Murdoch is an insufferable billionaire's wife. She's insufferable, and you know this to be true.
We only have him for a few more minutes, though.
Come on, Julie.
Chuck is bitter, and we'll have a whole show on bitter but correct.
Yeah.
Let me ask
I'm
you
angry.
This, though.
Table for one, bitter, table for one.
Why did you talk about there are people kind of starting to rumblings around going on about the governor, Republican candidate, for speaking of candidates. I know Greg Lopez is out there. Who knows what Ken Thierry is going to do, Heidi Ganahl. We were joking with Dave Williams, State Representative Dave Williams, the other day. Somebody, and he says, no, it wasn't him, took out a Dave Williams for governor domain name. How would you, see anything, any thoughts on that? I know it's kind of far out there, but.
I don't know. I have to tell you, I disagree with Dave on probably almost everything, but he's a really likable person.
Yes.
You know, and he's clear. Bluntly, he doesn't have the baggage that the Neville family has. And I think that's, you know, some of the issues and the old ties with, you know, Rocky Mountain gun owners or whatever the heck Dudley's right-wing group was or is, if it's even still around. So Dave doesn't have any of that.
National organization.
You know, he actually, you know, it's going to have a name ID problem other than the fact that his name is really common. So maybe people will say, oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
Oh, the Williams guys.
Because I know, like, you know, 1,000 Dave Williams. But he speaks in a way that I actually think could appeal to what I was talking about in terms of having your cake and eating it too.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And he's really, Dave is really thoughtful.
Yes, we like him a lot. We just, like I said, we had him on. I'm like, did you do that? He goes, no, I didn't do that. He goes, and I said, well, maybe. So.
Well, who do you like for chairman of the Republican Party?
Or do you even?
Well, you know, we've been thinking about this a lot. So
I know. I know.
So we're going to know who to help because, you know, we don't want the party to go anywhere.
No, right.
I don't even know who's running.
Well, that makes a bunch of Chuck is moving up the ranks in the Republican
Republican now on the state central committee.
There we go. So you guys better watch out.
Watch out. We're coming.
It's part of my plan. I've got a friend on the state central committee.
Hey, listen,
tell them who the candidates are.
I don't even know who they are. There's Christy Burton Brown. I don't know. Scott Gessler.
You know Scott.
Schumann.
Yeah.
That was a great look.
I mean,
Casper Stockham.
I don't think it makes very much difference. Well, that's just the biggest question. Does it, in your mind, does it make any difference?
It's more of a question of, you know, do no damage. Because I've always felt unless you need to have a strong character who can raise money.
Yeah.
And knows how to stay out of the way. If you think that the party is going to be and the party leader is going to be the one that's going to take you out of the forest and take you through, you know, an open watered sea, then, as I would say earlier, you're kind of Pollyannish. There has to be an underlying infrastructure that provides what people think of. And it's what we have on the Democratic side. You don't think of one person as, well, this is the reason why the Democratic Party is strong in Colorado right now. It's because there are multiple people. And there's an underlying feeling. There's a narrative about what we're doing in Colorado. And right now,
it goes back to what you said, the guy to decide who they are. Hey, listen, we got to go because we got
can we keep
show.
On I know. Longer?
We'll get you back on. And Chuck, table for one, can grill you on how you...
I don't know who grills who, it's always
Ted,
fun.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
We totally appreciate your time.
You guys.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Ted Tripp, a Democrat strategist there. We'll have to text Dave Williams and say, hey, that was kind of a good thing.
Yeah, endorsement, if that's...
So we're going to... Hey, folks at BBS, if we want to go ahead and get Peter Boyles on the line right now, want to talk about... And we'll get your calls there, too, after
Peter
talking
to Peter. Peter is with us.
Oh, Peter is with us. The news today that Rush Limbaugh died. And I think, you know, it's hard to even underestimate or overestimate, I think, what an important role he played in talk radio. And so we reached out to Peter, 710 KNUS.
Kingpin.
Yeah, easily in the Rocky Mountain region, the number one talk show host. So, Peter, hey, thank you for your time. Good, we just saw
hey
you a couple hours ago, but yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, I saw you guys, and then I went and had lunch with three old radio hands. That was kind of a preset reunion, and one of them was probably the finest mind I've ever known in radio was Lee Larson, who we talked about Limbaugh and how they brought Rush Limbaugh to KOA, and it was... It was an interesting story that some of it I'd never heard him tell before. So, yeah, I mean, here's a guy that, you know, I said he's Elvis, he's the Beatles, he's Muhammad Ali, he's, you know, he's Picasso, he's Einstein. He changes how everybody thinks and how everybody does our business. And anybody on the side of the microphone that you guys are on right now, owe it to him. It's for real. So, yeah.
But to explain to folks maybe who don't know, because, you know, we had, and I can't remember his name, a while ago, a guy who wrote a book, and he was not a conservative at all, about the impact that Rush Limbaugh had on both conservative politics and talk radio. And he said, essentially, Rush Limbaugh is the reason that almost all talk radio shows exist.
Yeah, there's BR, and there's, you know, before Rush and then Rush.
Yeah, and I say it low. There was before and after Alan Berg. And then there is before and after Rush Limbaugh. But remember, if we're talking locally, not on a national level, Mike Rosen came in with a conservative agenda. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, talk radio was abashed in the liberal thought. Rosen came in and brought conservative thinking onto talk radio, and he becomes a hit. But
yeah,
then,
but
then Limbaugh, you know, as you know, he comes out of that Sacramento, and I think you probably told the story already, and he becomes one of the early syndicated. Well, there's always been syndication. One of the things that I found out and, you know, gearing up for our show tomorrow, as well as talking to you guys, his father was a part owner in the first radio station that he worked at. Then when he was in California, and here's a name, how does he get on the air as a talk show host? They had gotten rid of Morton Downey Jr.
Oh, I remember Morton Downey Jr. He had been with the Kansas City Royals in their front office somewhere.
He was a disc jockey, top 40 jock. And, I mean, so he has a, he's got, I think what made him great is we've talked about this. He was a radio guy. He was a disc jockey. He was Jeff Christie on the air, top 40 jock. And so in the 80s, he gets lands a job in, I think the callers were KFBK in Sacramento, and at the time these guys were called shock jocks, anybody remembers, and the principal crazy shock jock who we had kind of an experience with here in Denver was Morton Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. And then he gets blown out for all the his shenanigans, and that's Limbaugh's first really talk radio break.
What do you see?
How did it change your job? How did it change how you approach things before Rush?
I was working before. I mean, talk radio, right, where, you know, Berg was working and Gary Kessler and some of the old, you know, kick around names, the late Bill Barker, Mr. Bill.
Yeah.
But we weren't a political weapon. We weren't, right. Talk radio had not been weaponized. We were marginalized. I mean, the Denver Post, the Rocky Mountain News, the local TV outlets. I mean, they were all, and we were, you know, we were the bastard stepchildren, and mm-hmm. we were laughed at and made fun of. And then Alan hit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and before, like I say, it's before and after Alan for me.
What year did Alan die?
Oh, don't do this to me.
I know. I don't remember. I was a long time. Yeah.
I mean, we talked about him a lot today, and not even do that to me.
That's shocking question.
You have a great insight in this. What happens, do you think, to the EIB network? I mean, and somebody.
What happens next? I think it dissolves. They actually don't own it anymore. Anyhow, it's that was sold. And
Do we know who owns it?
Well, I think. Don't hold me to this one, but I think it might be part of iHeart.
Okay. So you're right. So it's not.
They'll try.
They've got sponsors and contracts.
They'll all dissolve with the death of the host. But they'll try to try to get somebody to be a replacement. Now, whether they succeed, I don't think they will. But they'll try.
No. I mean, there was a lot of Elvis Presley knockoffs, but there was only Elvis, and you know, there's a lot.
But then the Beatles came, and then you know, there is always if there is a market out there for it, and he showed there is a market, then somebody could come along. I know his replacements, with the exception of Mark, what's his name?
Levin, Mark Stein.
Mark Stein were awful. I mean, they're just awful.
Yeah, not even. Well, they weren't awful, but to
no,
me.
No, a lot of them were pretty awful.
Even,
I just wanted to say, I want you to be good, but not too good.
we don't need to be better than me.
Yeah, you don't need to be better than me. But none of them came up. There's been other people who've, you know, Tonight Show people who have had guest mm-hmm. people who go on to be, you know, big stars.
They were never Carson. And by the way,
if there's a market out there, then there's going to be someone who's going to try to fill it.
But I think that, there's not, it's not like there's somebody sitting on the bench it is too bad. Just a couple more questions for you, Peter, because I know you've got all kinds of stuff going on this afternoon. How do you see it shaking out? I mean, you are arguably, and I think in the numbers, from what I understand, you know, clearly the number one radio show, and congratulations, by the way, in the morning in mm-hmm. Denver. How do you see this? I mean, Rush Limbaugh was for a long time on KOA. Then KOA built a new sort
760,
of
760, Freedom
the Freedom Channel, of which Rush Limbaugh was like the anchor store, to speak. Yeah. How does this shake out? Any thoughts on how, and you know, you had lunch with some of the best minds in the country.
A couple quick things. I just looked at the plaque I have in my, Alan was murdered in June of 84, which shows you how long ago that was. If I give up or say who said what, then it could come back and people come after them. But nobody with room temperature IQ got moving Alan off of KOA. It's cratered, but now it will crater their 760 signal because he held that together. People will understand the impact this guy has. And it's like, if you read, and you and I were talking at the newspaper today, there's a wonderful book called Late Show.
Yeah.
And is it Late Show or Late Night? I think Late Night.
Well,
it was about Carson retiring and a battle between Letterman and what was going to happen with Jay Leno. But if you look at the ratings today, and you look at the ratings when it happened, nobody kept Carson's numbers.
And right.
Nobody's going to keep the numbers that this man generates. And ratings are revenue, and content is king and all the things that you try and preach and teach. But no, this is going to be a huge void. I think we were talking in the office about somebody saying about, it would be Trump. Trump won't do it. He may take a show a month or something, but he's not going to do radio. I think he's so original, and you know, they'll try things, but you know, it's like, you know, when somebody is gone, Ronald Reagan, we were talking about Ronald Reagan on a radio show this morning. In my estimation, after Reagan, there isn't anybody. Everybody is in the shadow of Reagan. Every fighter was in the shadow of Ali. I mean, as good as fighters that they were.
Well, if you talk to people that are in the Republican Party, they certainly rate Trump way above Reagan, way above Reagan.
Well, they're not very bright.
The polls show that now. Yeah. Mitch McConnell not doing so well. Well, let me ask you, Peter, just because I know you've
many things to
many
do.
Things to do. What you have a great show,
a great
coming
lineup
up tomorrow.
Coming up, yeah,
you know, I'll let you go ahead and promote that because everybody should listen to that.
It's from what it's worth. Lee will be on the show. The ultimate overlord of Salem Broadcasting, Phil Boyce, who when I was
man who fired Bob Grant.
Who else, Peter?
But he also put, he also develops Sean Hannity. I mean, it's a bullpen story, but there's a guy that when you know how the business works, he was running the newsroom at KHOW when I was doing 8 to midnight thousands of years ago when we were at Petroleum Club building. Now he's the man for Salem. He's done great work for Salem. He's going to come on. Lee, of course, will come on. Kenny Hamblin, and we got Kenny out of retirement. Kenny, you know, when they did that bake sale up in Fort Collins, which is part of the Limbaugh legend, and Limbaugh actually came to Colorado, and Kenny at the time was the Black Avenger, and he was riding his motorcycle and put a cape on, and he led the buses up there, and I mean, Kenny's got great stories on him, and then a guy that Billy found, who was the board op for Limbaugh when Limbaugh was a disc jockey. And
we
found him. Well, not we. I shouldn't say we. Billy found him.
I told Billy exactly where to look, and he did it. No. Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
All right. Hey, well, listen, thank you for your time. Great to see you this afternoon.
Yeah.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, thank you.
Good luck.
All right, Peter Boyles, you guys, check him out tomorrow, 710 KNUS. If you're not in Colorado, you just go to 710KNUS.com. Let's open it up to the phone lines. I mean, you know, you can talk about Ted Trent, but talk about Rush Limbaugh, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you want to jump in on Zoom, 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423. If we could, though, first, I wanted to play, I pulled some sound. If the guys at BBS, if we could play, this is Rush Limbaugh's wife, Catherine. I think we've all known this was coming, and his producers had indicated a couple weeks ago that it was unlikely that he was going to be coming back, and I think we all knew what that meant. But this was his wife this morning reading the announcement on the air. So if we, Thomas, if we could go ahead and play the Rush Limbaugh soundbite.
Hello, everyone. I know that I am most certainly not the Limbaugh that you tuned in to listen to today. I, like you, very much wish Rush was behind this golden microphone right now, welcoming you to another exceptional 3 hours of broadcasting. For over 32 years, Rush has cherished you, his loyal audience, and always looked forward to every single show. It is with profound sadness I must share with you directly that our beloved Rush, my wonderful husband, passed away this morning due to complications from lung cancer. As so many of you know, losing a loved one is terribly difficult. Even more so when that loved one is larger than life. Rush will forever be the greatest of all time. Rush was an extraordinary man, a gentle giant, brilliant, quick-witted, genuinely kind, extremely generous, passionate, courageous, and the hardest working person I know. Despite being one of the most recognized, powerful people in the world, Rush never let the success change his core or beliefs.
So that was his wife this morning. And then interestingly, Donald Trump, who has been keeping a very low profile, except for the Trump's massive smackdown of Mitch McConnell yesterday, Donald Trump then called the morning show on Fox. So if we could play that next soundbite, Donald Trump talking about Limbaugh.
It's irreplaceable, unique. He had an audience that was massive. And, you know, he could do something, Bill, and he would get up in the show and would just talk. He wouldn't take phone calls where, you know, people would call in every 2 minutes and that's sort of easy to do. He would just talk for 2 hours and 3 hours, just talk. And that's not an easy thing to do. And I once asked him, I said, do you study for the show? And he said, actually, I study very hard, which a little bit, Harris, that a little bit surprised me, but he was a fantastic man, a fantastic talent. And people, whether they loved him or not, they respected him. They really did.
There you go. And then Trump went ahead and got political on them a little bit, but not much. But I thought that said a lot. You know, and you could talk about, if you want, 888-627-6008. I think, Chuck, you know, we had that guy on who talked about Russia's impact on talk radio and particularly conservative talk radio. And I think arguably he created it in his own way, I think, and then kept it going single-handedly. I was never a giant Rush Limbaugh fan. And until like for the past 4 years, and you've always said he's like a liberal whisperer, right? He could explain what liberals were really up to and what they were thinking.
Yeah, that phrase means somebody gets along with liberals, which is not right. He can certainly interpret it.
Listen, like a horse whisperer. Okay.
Yeah, that's a horse. The person who can talk to horses, a liberal whisperer would be somebody.
Okay, thank
Ted is a Republican whisperer. He can talk to us, and we all love him. I mean,
okay, so your thoughts on Rush Limbaugh?
Now, to reemphasize that point.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I had my own little waiting for the phone call to decide whether I was going to live.
When you had the surgery for the cancer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Whether the cancer had reached my bloodstream, which means you're not buying any life insurance from anybody. I thought of Rush Limbaugh. I really mm-hmm. did. And how gracefully he handled all that. I mean, he didn't want anybody's pity. He didn't want anybody to feel sad for him. He wanted to come on and put the same great show he'd always put on. And I thought he handled his demise, if you want to call it that. It was such grace and so beautifully done.
Well, how do you think, though, what was it, and we'll get to Jacob here in a second, what was it, though, that do you think, because you've listened to him for longer than me, that made his show so great? What was it about him?
Well, because Democrats are magicians, as somebody told me, you know, magicians. They wave with their right hand to distract you while their left hand does the dirty deed. And Rush's program explained, okay, they're talking about A, but it's not really A. And as a matter of fact, it's B, and here's why they want B, and here's what their goal is for B. So you're always going, what do you know? Yeah. And so he was always doing that. He wasn't really necessarily condemning it, as though he was in some ways, but he's saying, this is what they're up to. You may not get it, but it is. And I think he woke a lot of people up, you know. I mean, they're not for little kids. They're not these
they
kind,
don't
awful
like
people.
Free speech.
They don't like free speech. Not the Democrats. They are the free speech party.
And tolerant. They're not tolerant.
They're not tolerant. They're not nice. Oh, my God. No. No.
And Roger would be like, no, they're not. Yeah, let's go to Jacob then, who's calling in from Denver. Hey, Jacob. Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Hi there.
Who was the quarterback that followed Elway?
Steve DeBerg? I don't know.
There's a bunch of them. Cutler, which right after Elway? Peyton Manning.
There are eight of them or something.
Yeah.
No, his father played for the Miami Dolphins.
Oh
Brian Griese?
Brian Griese.
Yes. The bottom line is nobody's going to remember who's going to replace Rush Limbaugh. I'm pretty sure that Rush Limbaugh in the last couple of months has decided what they should do with the show. And we'll find out in a couple, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's right, Jacob. Yeah.
Did you listen to Rush Limbaugh? Were you a listener?
Yeah, I listened to him.
But no, what did you like, or what were your thoughts on him?
No, I think I he was pretty smart. He was always to me he knocked a nail on the head all the time. Mm-hmm. And like yesterday, they were repeating something he said 4 years ago. He said, when they get rid of Donald Trump, they're not going to let go. They're going to go after him and after him and after him, either after four years or after 8 years. And this is what they're doing now.
You're right.
That's absolutely right.
Very Christian.
That's what it is. But I just want to say one thing. I read today that there's a $150 billion lawsuit against Dominion, the voting machine company. I don't know if you read about it yet or not.
Dominion's been filing lawsuits.
No, but this is somebody filed it against them?
A group of people, a class action lawsuit against Dominion.
Oh, great, good.
If these people are right, and let's say Sidney Powell wins her lawsuit, her counter lawsuit against Dominion, I think the only crime that happened on January 6th was the fact that they were certifying the votes.
That's a crime. Oscar Wilde said, every trial is a trial for your life. And he knew what he was talking about. Dominion will find out that every trial is a trial for your life. And they think it's just going to be them beating up everybody.
Right.
But trials have both a plaintiff and a defendant, and you both get to do deposition.
You think you're both right on that point. Because, you know, they're counting right now on the social media people and the Democrats and everybody just quashing any kind of, I mean, you got to wonder, why are they working so hard to silence any kind of opposition or thought or even, I mean, even like I said, they won't even let us show the Senate impeachment trial when Trump's lawyer was up. I mean,
because you put Trump in the headline.
That's like insanity in terms of how much they're going against it. It's always kind of like, you know, you're protesting a little bit too much here, I think.
This guy Van Diem or Van Dern, you know he's a personal injury attorney. He's not an election attorney or he's not a constitutional attorney, and he beat up the best constitutional attorney Raskin that the Democrats had.
Yeah,
it's a personal. Isn't that ironic? It's just amazing.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Jacob, thank you for calling.
Good call.
Appreciate the call. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Or if you're on Zoom and you want to chime in, feel free to just unmute your microphone and go ahead and pop in. Yeah, I think Rush, like as you said, and that's what we try to do on this show too, is sort of truth straight up, right? And say, here's what we think is happening. And he was absolutely right in predicting this, that the Democrats aren't going to let go of Trump. One, keep in mind the Uniparty, right? Mitch McConnell isn't going to. I disagree with Ted a little bit that they can have it both, because the two sides, you've got either you're for Make America Great Again or you're for give everything we can to the Beltway swamp creatures, and the two are diametrically opposed. And I think Mitch McConnell was making the move thinking, all right, you know, Trump is down, Trump is being silent, and
well,
I find
Ted was right. He had to do it in order to keep his corporate donors happy. And that makes sense, right?
Right.
Because politically, you kind of go, this makes you a lot of enemies. Yeah, but it makes me a lot of friends.
With money.
That I count as important. Right. And I think that was a great insight.
And here's the thing, too, I was thinking with Mitch McConnell, and we can talk more about Russia, too, in a second. But one thing that I think happens, and the conservative treehouse does a good job, I believe, of explaining this. They point out that Mitch McConnell doesn't actually care about winning or losing the Senate. What Mitch McConnell cares about is controlling sort of a 8 or so, 10, 15 Republican senators that he needs to pass legislation that the big donor people want, that basically the puppet masters want this legislation.
More than 8 and 15. He wants to control enough that he remains minority leader.
But the 8 and 15 are going to vote with the Democrats, and he just needs people that he can go to. And I think a lot of this has to do with bills that maybe you and I don't even see all the time, right? These are special bills, special things that they need.
No. The way it works is everything is done before the vote.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Everything is done in the caucus rooms of the very top guys. And most of the senators don't even get to read the legislation.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. He needs people.
But he needs the Democrats to kind of go, we need some bipartisan support on this.
Saying.
And even if Mitch votes against it, he'll make sure we
he
get
needs
enough
to, know, and
to
that's
make
his
it
whole
look
thing.
Bipartisan.
Hey, we have, I had spoken to her earlier, a local columnist published all over the place, Joy Overbeck, and I had asked, we talked briefly this afternoon, and I was asking her what she thought. I see she's on the phone now. Joy, thank you for calling in. You know, just really quickly wanted to get your thoughts. You've been following conservative media. You're part of it yourself. What, you know, your thoughts on the impact that that Rush Limbaugh had on the whole thing. And thank you, by the way, for your time here.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm happy to talk about him. I am so, so sad today. I posted today in my page, you know, we know that he's walking and talking and laughing with our Lord, but it's, you know, we're always split between two worlds, Christians are. We love that he's with Jesus, but we hate having him not be with us. It's just kind of, it's heartbreak for millions and millions of people who really felt that he was one of us, felt so close to him. He was so warm. He was so funny. He was just, you know, there's never anything vindictive about him. Or anything vicious about him, like the other people,
right.
The other side, for instance. Nothing hateful. And they always called him hateful. They called him racist. And, you know, one of his best friends is Bo Snerdly. He's a black guy who answers the phones, amazing talent himself, brilliant guy. I met him once at the Western Conservative Summit, and he's, you know, one of Russia's best friends. His real name is James Golden. I maybe shouldn't say that, but that's his real name. Anyway.
Well, you know, you're right, though.
I'm sorry, go ahead. What?
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, you raise a good point. They attacked Rush Limbaugh constantly, accusing him of all the things that they're doing. I mean, that's how you know, whatever they're accusing you of. That's who they are. And you're right. I mean, Rush Limbaugh never trashed people. He would just basically eviscerate them with the facts.
Well, he never got angry very often. Most of the time, he would just
trolling happily
away.
He was so good-natured all the time. Yeah. And he was hilarious. One of the things he did, I don't know if this is in 2007, I don't know if you knew about this, is he was talking about somebody who was running, some guy who was running for office was pretending, this is the candidate was pretending that he was some kind of a, you know, had fought in Vietnam. He was a military veteran, whatever, had just risked his life. And it turned out it was all just bogus. It was all just bunk. And Rush called him out on it. And then Harry Reid wrote a letter to the station and asked, urged and demanded that Rush be fired from EIB from his radio slot. And Rush had proved that this guy was a bogus soldier, you know, a fake soldier, stolen valor and everything. And so Rush went on the radio and he auctioned off Dirty Harry Reid's letter for $2.1 million. And then Rush added another $2.1 million to it. So it was $4.2 million that Rush then donated to a fund to help fallen soldiers' children go to school.
Wow.
Well,
yeah,
one thing
so that's the kind of thing he did. I'm sorry, what, Chuck?
The president said when he was on Fox, he said, you know, that the opposition respected Rush. And I promise you, they did not.
No, they hated him.
They loathe and hate.
Well, you should see.
And they are
No, do you know what they did? They feared him. They feared
right.
him.
Right.
And they hate him.
And they
for good reason.
They may have respected his power, but other than that, you talk to any Democrat today, and if you know, they'll tell you what an anti-Semite bigot.
Well, and they've never even listened to him. It's like anything. Yeah, they've never heard of him.
Well, it's the same. You know, they put him in the same category as Trump. They feared Trump, so they hated him because they feared him.
Right. Do you? Mitch, just a final question because I know you too. All of our guests are busy today. Do you? Any thoughts on what happens now? I mean, I'm thinking that at a certain point, I mean, it's hard to fathom the show going on the way that it did. Do you have any guesses? I guess, unless they called you. No, any guesses on what happens now?
I think that he'll find somebody, or rather the station will find somebody. I think Chuck was saying earlier that, or somebody was saying, yeah, I think it was Chuck was saying, that they, you know, they've known for a long time this would eventually happen. And they're not stupid. They're not stupid people. So they've got somebody, might be Charlie Kirk, might be Dan Bongino.
That's a good, I hadn't even thought of that, Joy. Yeah. You're right. Dan Bongino really has developed quite a following. So that's a very good
point. Yeah, but you know what? Charlie Kirk, I think, just started on the radio. And, of course, he's got a much younger following than most of the other radio hosts now. And he also heads up Turning Point USA, which is a huge organization that goes into all the college campuses. So strategically, and tries to teach conservatism and get kids, get younger people. And that's what we need in this party is, of course, younger people. So I think probably the station and probably Rush had a big input into this and was certainly thinking strategically because that's what he would do.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. Hey, well, Joy, listen, for folks, I know we read you sometimes in Town Hall, American Thinker. Are you working on anything right now that people should keep their eyes open for?
Yeah, I'm just working on another piece for Town Hall, and I'm working on the recall of four of our terrible school board members in Douglas County. So people could go to roadtorecall.org and sign up. The petitions to recall these school board members are dropping on Friday. We need you to go to roadtorecall.org and sign up to help either with the petitions or help spread the social media or anything that you want to do. But it's fun actually to gather petition signatures for something like this. These school board members have been terrible. They don't have a plan after a year to get our kids back to school. And they're just kind of, they're just incompetent. So
well, and as we know, Douglas County, you guys there are ground zero for the whole school choice issue. The teachers' unions nationally have fought hard, and they've gotten they get rid of candidates who are for school choice, and we're all seeing right now what happens when you don't have school choice.
Right.
So, okay, so roadtorecall.org. Joy, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you, guys. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. You too. So I want to remind folks that please go to chuckandjulie.com and I'll try to put up on Rumble the YouTube video that they pulled down.
Trump,
I know, I won't put Trump in the headline. You can't put,
in.
I just had to put, if you read our show description and it says Chuck and Julie talk about cute puppies today, then you know that's a show to listen to.
That's the perfect one.
That's the show to listen to because it's really good. You can find everything at chuckandjulie.com. Excuse me. Would love to have you like and subscribe to us on YouTube. You know, I don't know. We'll have to talk a little bit more. If other people are having trouble, Parler is back, and I had no problem getting on it yesterday, but I couldn't get on it at all today. Mm. So if maybe later on Friday, if somebody knows more about that than me and I'm doing something wrong, just send me a message and let me know. Hey, I want to say thank you to Ted, to Joy, to Peter Boyles, to all the folks who called in, and to the guys, the great guys at BBS running the board and keeping things rolling for us.
And yes, next show is Party Friday.
Next show is Party Friday. We will see you guys all then.
Bye-bye.
Stay warm, stay safe. We'll see you then.